The offseason hasn't been a quiet one in Big Ten country. Jim Harbaugh and his Twitter account have been active. Of course, Urban Meyer still coaches the Buckeyes. They're primed for another big season. And the Notre Dame Fighting Irish always garner a lot of college football headlines. They want to make it to their first attempt or their first appearance in a college football playoff here in 2016. Welcome to the 2016 Big Ten and Notre Dame football preview. I'm Jacob Bunn, joined by the college football professor. As we look at the Midwest and we look at Ohio State and Michigan, Michigan State and some of these teams, another big year on the horizon, right, Professor?
That's right. And I guess one of the big stories we would always talk about when you think about the Big Ten wouldn't be Woody Hayes, but it would be Jim Harbaugh.
Well, let's talk about Jim Harbaugh. Let's talk about him right off the top here. Obviously, he has had a very interesting impact on the college football landscape. He has made some inflammatory comments toward other teams, other coaches, other situations, other leagues, as we talked about, the SEC. But he's also invigorated the fan base there in Michigan, and I could say inspired a lot of Big Ten fans that may not have been or may have thought they were going to be second fiddle to the SEC forever. Has he changed the game, and what do you think about Jim Harbaugh's antics this offseason?
Well, I'll say this, that Jim Harbaugh has made a lot of noise, that's for sure. And he was able to go 10-3 with the Wolverines last year, so that's good. But remember that Brady Hoke went 11-2 in his first year at Michigan. But, Jacob, I've heard, and you might be able to answer this, that he was spending a lot of his practice time in the early part of his fall camp teaching his punters on how to do a shuttle pass.
Yeah, that was quite an epic fail there, and something that you just never see in college football when the punter lost the ball. And, of course, Michigan State won that game in the Big House, and I think that stunned Harbaugh and about 100,000 of his closest friends there. Let's talk about offense in the Big Ten this year. That is an area where this league, and well, we can throw Notre Dame in there as well because they're part of our preview today, but that's an area where this league could have some struggles this year, right?
They got a lot of questions at quarterback and running back. Now, they do have some real good offensive line. Now, I would say this. I don't know of a team in the Big Ten this year that has a good wide receiving unit. They may have one or two good wide receivers, but as far as a unit. But Michigan, Ohio State, and Indiana will all have good offensive lines.
I might say that Michigan State's wide receiver unit would be the one that would come to mind as probably the best, considering what they have coming back off of that team that made the playoff a year ago. What about on the defensive side?
Well, that's where they're going to really shine because, well, let's just take, for instance, the defensive line in Michigan is going to be really, really good. And the linebackers at Michigan State are some of the best. And Wisconsin has very good linebackers. So I think their defense, and, of course, Ohio State's loaded again.
Let's get right into it. We'll start with the Big Ten West, and these are the BunSports.com projections. The bottom of the Big Ten West, this is a new team on the horizon, the Illinois Fighting Illini. And why are they a new team? Because they've got a new coach, and he is one Lovey Smith, who coached in the same state in the NFL, and the Chicago Bears for years, took them to a Super Bowl. We know what he can do in the NFL. How's he going to do in Illinois, and does he put this team on the radar?
I guess the question we could ask, Jacob, would be, could he create more buzz than Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh? That, you know, here we are, we're talking about Harbaugh and Meyer, but Lovey Smith is really creating a lot. But let's look at the Illinois team for a minute. I think the key for them is quarterback Wes Lunt, who came to Illinois a couple of years ago, transferring from Oklahoma State, and he has a lot of talent. And they have a linebacker by the name of Hardy Nickerson, who is a star. I mean, he's really a star. But the problem is, the real star on this team is Lovey Smith. But they need a lot more players. But, you know, he's getting a lot of love right now from the Illinois faithful followers. But after the year's over, will they continue to get that? But on September the 10th, the University of North Carolina comes calling. And a lot will depend then on how this new cowboy Lunt, if he's going to come out with his pistol blazing, or exactly what's going to happen with this quarterback.
We feel that they're going to go 2-10 overall, 0 wins in the Big Ten this year. That's 0-9. How about Purdue? They were 2-10 a year ago. They're looking to improve on that. Darrell Hazell, of course, going into his fourth season in Purdue. He is. We think they're going to go 4-8 this year, 1-8 in Big Ten play. So we think a small improvement, but still not making a bowl game.
He needs to make some improvement because in 3 years, the Boilermakers are 6 wins and 30 losses, and in the conference, they're 2 wins and 22 losses under his leadership. Now, that's not putting out very much steam for a Boilermaker, is it?
It's not indeed. And another team that we usually don't see in the bottom half of the Big Ten West, but we have them at number 5 this year, making a bowl barely, and that's the Wisconsin Badgers. They won 10 games a year ago. Paul Chryst entering his second season, but only 6 starters returning on both sides of the ball. We think Wisconsin's going to take a step back this year.
I think the key for them doing better than we expect would be the return of running back Corey Clement. You know, he was injured last year, and if he can be back, that'll go a long way in the, helping the Badgers. But you know, think about it, Jacob. Last year they lost a lot of close games. Now, could that have been different had they had their playmaker Corey Clement? But when you look,
well, they lost 3 close games. But that's,
well, I'm saying those are the losses
really
that was close in
right.
that sense. But the big thing is going to be, I think we'll see when we go to Lambeau Field right off the bat, and LSU comes. And we'll see if Wisconsin is more like the, let's just say they're like the present-day Chicago Bears, and LSU will be more like the Green Bay Packers. And by the way, their uniforms favor the Packers. And
but Wisconsin's don't favor the Bears.
No, but I'm talking about
that's
their,
a good point.
I'm talking about their team, though.
They do. You
the
know,
Bears
that's...
have been in real struggling times recently. But here's the thing. I would have to say that Leonard Fournette's going to look a lot more like Jim Taylor of Green Bay Packer history.
Dangerous game for LSU. Dangerous game for – I don't think Wisconsin's going to have a particularly good season, but I think that's a game. If you're LSU, and we'll get into the SEC next week, but if you're LSU, you need to watch out for that game to open the season. 6-7 a year ago were the Minnesota Golden Gophers. We think they're going to go 7-5 this year. Tracy Clays, this is his first full year. It's his second year as head coach, but of course – Jerry Kill resigned with the illness last year. 7-5, 4-5. We think the Golden Gophers could be competitive this year.
Yes, Tracy Clays has done a good job since he took over for Jerry Kill. But the Gophers have not had a top-notch quarterback. I don't know. You might have to go all the way back into the 70s before you can remember a good quarterback at Minnesota. But they bring going to be bringing somebody on board that might help them in senior Mitch Lettner. That he's had a lot of experience, and if he can stay injury free, he could be a difference maker. But the closest thing to a star that they have is their senior offensive lineman by the name of Jonah Persig, and also a defensive lineman by the name of Steven Richardson. Those are the two stars that they have.
Another team that we think is going to go 7-5, 5-4 in league play is Nebraska. Mike Riley going into his second season there in Lincoln as he came from Oregon State. 6-7 a year ago were the Cornhuskers. They returned 7 on offense, 6 on defense. It's an open division, the Big Ten West. So Nebraska, even if they don't have an elite team, they could be competitive and perhaps get in the race for this thing.
I think one thing, Jacob, that you'd have to admit, wouldn't you, that Mike Riley has brought a calm approach to the Cornhuskers mm-hmm. after what they had before. And so that's a step in the right direction.
You think his personality's slightly different than Bo Pelini, huh?
I think so. But could this be the year of that they begin to unlock the key to the Big Ten West? And I think the key will be Tommy Armstrong, their quarterback. They bring the Ducks of Oregon to town right off the bat, bring them into mm-hmm. Lincoln, and then they travel to Columbus, Ohio. And by the way, at the on Friday of Thanksgiving weekend, they will travel to Iowa City, and that might just be the story might be told right then about the Big Ten West.
I'm talking about absolutely, I agree that could be a huge game there. But another team that we have sandwiched right in between Iowa and Nebraska is Northwestern. 10-3 a year ago. What a job Pat Fitzgerald has done. This is his 11th season, can you believe it, there in Chicago. But 9-3 is what we project they'll go this year, 6-3, and right there competing for the Big Ten West.
Well, the question is, can they get any offense? I mean, last year, even though they had a great record, but their offense was just absolutely pitiful. And if you really look at their team, they got a linebacker by the name of Anthony Walker, and he's one of the best players in the Big Ten. And Justin Jackson, their running back, is good. But the big question, again, is can the Wildcats create any offense?
That is the big question. Another team that wants to create offense, and we have them winning the Big Ten West again for the second straight season. The Iowa Hawkeyes, led by quarterback C.J. Beathard, Kirk Ferentz in his 18th year, can you believe it, in Iowa City. You mentioned it a minute ago. Iowa, once again, we think they'll be right there competing for a Big Ten West title, or they'll get the Big Ten West title, and maybe even a bigger, college football playoff berth. Talk about the Hawkeyes.
I think you have to say, without doubt, that Iowa was the surprise team last year.
Absolutely, and of college football.
And think about the fact they came within a mulligan of getting into the college football playoffs. And as you said, as C.J. Beathard as their quarterback, the Hawkeyes. Here's the question:
Senior leadership. You can't replace senior leadership like that at quarterback.
But the question for Iowa is this: can they stop this up and down roller coaster they're on? One year they're good, next year they're not. And they will face a Big Ten West teams, Nebraska, Northwestern, and Wisconsin at home.
It's a pretty favorable schedule if you look at it.
They really have a good schedule. And then
they do play Michigan, and that's the one game we feel they will lose. But other than that, they don't have a tremendous threat. I mean,
They have a defensive back by the name of Desmond King and the defensive tackle, Jaleel Johnson, and they both are really top-rate players. So I look for their schedule is it's certainly going to help that 18th year coaching of Kirk Ferentz.
So this is how we have the Big Ten West finishing up: Iowa, Northwestern, Nebraska, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Purdue, and Illinois. So let's move on to the East, and this is where a lot of people think this division is one of the best in college football when you get to some of the premier names at the top. But we'll start at the bottom. Rutgers, last year 4-8 under Chris Ash, and this is his first year, actually, as the head coach of the Scarlet Knights. We think they're going 2-10, 1-8, so we think they're going to take a step back on 4-8. But a transition year, it's going to be a tough year for Rutgers.
Well, in their first year in the Big Ten, the Scarlet Knights were 8-5. But last year they were 4-8, which produced a new coach, as you've just said, Chris Ash. Mm-hmm. And he's from the Urban Meyer tree, by the way. And but he'll have a difficult time doing better. Starts off right off the bat playing Washington, and then he's got the Big Ten East schedule. So he's gonna have a difficult time.
Protégés of Urban Meyer have done well so far, as have protégés of Nick Saban. I think Urban Meyer and Nick Saban have produced some very, very quality head football coaches in college football. A team that was 3-9 last year, Maryland, we think they're going to go 3-9 again. Another team with a first-year head coach in DJ Durkin, we think they're going 3-9 and 1-8 in Big Ten play. Struggle for the Terps this year.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that DJ Durkin, he worked for Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh in the past. And he should get off to a good start with the first three games that he plays. But I think the biggest job that DJ Durkin is going to have, though, is refereeing his former bosses in the Big Ten coaches meeting.
Isn't that the truth? And I don't think they're going to be – just because they used to work with him, they're not going to take it easy on him one bit when it comes time for the Maryland-Michigan and Maryland-Ohio State games.
They do have an outstanding player in offensive lineman by Michael Dunn, but they need a lot more players than that. And the question is, and in the last 5 years, the Terrapins, they need a lot of good players because they haven't done very much in the last 5 years. I think they've averaged 4 wins a year for the last 5 years.
Do you remember the Pinstripe Bowl, Professor?
Yeah.
You remember the Pinstripe Bowl? I'm sure you remember every play of the Pinstripe Bowl.
Yeah.
44-41, one of the great bowls. I enjoyed actually thoroughly watching it as Duke beat Indiana by a hair in that overtime game. Indiana 6-7 last year. Kevin Wilson going into his sixth year as the head coach there in Bloomington. We think they're going to get to a bowl again and go 6-6, 3-6. Really, really a program on the upswing here.
Well, you know, the Hoosiers of Indiana have a very good head coach in Kevin Wilson, but they need to have more quality players, and that's the difficulty. They have some. I mean, they got offensive line Dan Feeney. He's very good. Wide receiver Sammy Cobbs is a very good one. But a 5-6-6 record would get them into a bowl, and maybe, Jacob, that they pick up an upset along the way that makes them have even a better season.
Could be. The top three teams in the Big Ten East, everybody knows who they are. I don't need to mention the names. You'll hear them in a minute. But there's a fourth team in the Big Ten East that we think is going to be pretty good. In fact, we have them winning double digits this year, and that is the Penn State Nittany Lions. James Franklin's now, he's established in his third year. They return 9 starters, almost everybody, on the offensive side of the football. It's going to be tough in that division. They're finishing fourth, and we think they're going to go 10-2.
Well, I guess I'd ask you this question right off the bat. They have an outstanding running back in Shaquon Barkley, but the question is, will he be able to live up to the tradition of the running backs that Penn State's had over the years?
That's a great question. I think Penn State, the offensive side of the football is going to be where Penn State is going to be won or lost this year. And as you mentioned, the running back coming back, that's key. And also the quarterback, we think it's going to be Trace McSorley. I believe that's how you pronounce his name, the sophomore there. How they get play out of him is going to be key in the wake of Christian Hackenberg and what that offense has done in the past.
Well, they play at Pittsburgh. That's a good out-of-conference, difficult out-of-conference game. They play at Michigan, but they get Michigan State, Ohio State at home. So it's going to be an interesting season for the Nittany Lions.
Third in the Big Ten East, we have the team with all the hype this year, the Michigan Wolverines. We have them finishing the same as Penn State, going 10-2, 7-2 in league play. All right, Professor, tell me about this hype machine here. How's it going to work out? Are we going to see – are they going to be on fire this year, or is it too much to expect them to have a really good season this early?
If off-season domination translates into wins, look out for the Wolverines. And they have some outstanding players. Defensive back Jordan Lewis is a quality player. They have an outstanding defensive lineman by the name of Chris Wormley. And of course, as I've already mentioned, Jabril Peppers is an outstanding linebacker. And Jim Harbaugh, you know, he's a good quarterback coach. And he has this transfer from Houston by the name of John Okorn. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, they believe that he will win the job because he's got to battle it out before to find out whether or not he will be the starter. I think Shane Morris is the one he's battling with. And then they had a good recruiting season.
Oh, yeah.
So they added depth, I think, to their offensive line in the fact that, they brought in Rashawn Gary, who was rated the number one recruit in the country last year, and they got another outstanding offensive lineman by the name of Shane Simmons. So that should add some real good depth for them.
Let's move from Ann Arbor to East Lansing, right across the state of Michigan, a team that went to the college football playoff last year before they were politely destroyed by Alabama in the Cotton Bowl. 10-2 this year. That's what we think. They went 12-2 last year, but we think they're going to go 10-2 this year, 7-2 in Big Ten play. Mark D'Antonio, once again, they could be a national contender, could they not?
Let me correct something. I said Shane Simmons from as a good new offensive lineman for Michigan. He plays for Penn State. I meant Ben Betterson.
Well, he won't know the difference. Yeah. I'm sure he's listening, but he won't know the difference.
The question about Michigan State I want to ask you, is there any team more overlooked and more underappreciated than the Green from East Lansing?
And the job Mark D'Antonio has done there goes underappreciated, and no, there's not. And they're a team. If you look at what they bring back, we're talking about – you talk about returning starters. They have 6 on the defensive side of the ball, which is the side that D'Antonio favors. They could be a national contender. Watch out for Michigan State.
I think that you could say, Jacob.
And by the way, they get Ohio State at home. I think that might be the most interesting part of it. They get Ohio State at home and Michigan.
I think you'd have to say that the steady hand of head coach Mark D'Antonio will mean a great deal in dealing with a win bag. So, and then they have some good players by the name of Malik McDowell, who will lead a very good defense.
They have a senior quarterback, too, and I know he doesn't have the experience. He's played in some games. I think he started from time to time when Connor Cook was unable to go. But Tyler O'Connor, you talk about a senior quarterback there who has experience, even though he doesn't have the game experience that Connor Cook had last year. But That's key.
Well, you mentioned the fact they got Michigan and Ohio State at home, but then they've got Penn State and Notre Dame on the road.
Sure, Penn State, Notre Dame, but they also have Wisconsin at home, and I believe they play BYU at some point during the season. So, yes, they have a difficult schedule, but the home, the big games, the Michigan and Ohio State, they're at home for the Spartans this year. Let's move on to Ohio State now, and this is the team we feel will win the Big Ten East and go 11-1 this year. You talk about overlooked. Now, Ohio State's never going to be overlooked like Michigan State. But nationally, Ohio State just had, they're not a favorite. You don't see Ohio State really picked by a lot of people to win it all this year. But I think they've got a really, really dangerous team.
I think that one thing that you would have to say, if there's one reason for the Buckeye band to dot the I, it would be the fact that Urban Meyer has only one quarterback this year. And that may make a big difference with JT Barrett being handed the keys to the car. And so I think that'll make a big difference.
And last year they had a lot of distractions. They had a lot of distractions that they don't have this year. Repeating as national champions. And how about the Ezekiel Elliott? When he played in that Michigan State game, he complained about the number of carries and how they were dividing up the offensive reps. I don't see a lot of that in Columbus this year. I think they have a young and more hungry team. Dangerous, dangerous. Watch out for the Buckeyes.
Well, replacing Ezekiel Elliott may be the biggest task, but we have to remember that JT Barrett was first team all Big Ten his freshman year back in 2014. Now, they have some really good players. I mean, Raquan McMillan will be center stage. I'm telling you, he's a player. And then their center, Pat Elgin, he will head up a really good offensive line. And by the way, Jacob, they have a couple of new players that came in this year, one by the name of Nick Boza and the other Jonathan Cooper. Does old name ring any last names ring any bell in Ohio State?
I believe a lot of offenses know a lot about a name by the name of Boza in the Big Ten. He disrupted a lot last year, absolutely. Well, that's how we feel they'll stack up. Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, Penn State, Indiana, Maryland, and Rutgers in the Big Ten East. So, if you're keeping track, you know that we have Ohio State playing Iowa for the Big Ten title, and we feel that Ohio State will win that game. Big Ten West is just not – they're not going to get a champion this year, we don't feel. They're just not quite there yet. Big Ten East still far ahead of the West. So, we have Ohio State winning the Big Ten and once again vaulting themselves, and we'll do our playoff predictions in 2 weeks, but it's safe to say they'll be in good position for a playoff berth after that. Well, let's talk about another team from the Midwest, and we're going to throw them in on this prediction show as well, and that is the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Last year they went 10-3. They bring back four starters on offense, five on defense. This is Brian Kelly. Can you believe this? His seventh season in South Bend. We think they're going to go 11-1 this year, and of course there's no conference record for Notre Dame. They're not in a conference, but their only loss coming against Michigan State in week three. Professor, talk about this team a little bit. They have an interesting schedule.
Well, I think their offensive line will be a key factor. I mean, they have the guy that leads the way is Quentin Nelson, but they have a couple of a newcomer by the name of Tommy Kramer, mm-hmm. who's going to give them depth there. The question might be, now they got good running backs in Tran Folsom and Josh Adams. So whether it's Folsom or Adams as the running back, there may be a tandem. But the question is, who's going to be the quarterback? I'm going to let you answer that because Malik Zaire or Deshaun Kaiser, which one of those is going to be the quarterback?
You know, my gut was telling me earlier this camp about Malik Zaire, but I think Deshaun Kaiser actually will end up getting the nod. And I say that based on where he is. You look at, he's a sophomore, his size is incredible, and from what I've heard, he's a better passer than Zaire by a marginal amount, although Zaire, he was able to make some plays last year. But that's the way I think they will go. But Notre Dame has a solid team this year, and if you look at their schedule, they play Texas, they play Michigan State. As you mentioned, they play several other teams, including Stanford, and we know they end the season at USC. So let me just call them out to you. Tell me how many wins how many potential losses you think they will have at Texas.
That's going to be I think Notre Dame will win, but it could
tough
know,
game.
That's going to be the one that kind of sets the stage for the whole football. All the football season this
Absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun on that Sunday night. Nevada, that's a win. Michigan State, obviously a potential loss there, even though it's in South Bend. Duke, Duke's tough. Wouldn't you say that? That could be a tough game there. They could stub their toe. Syracuse, a win. North Carolina State, probably a win at North Carolina State. Stanford.
No, Stanford, that's going to – you know, by that time, Shaw will have Stanford playing at a high level.
Agreed.
You know, he they usually – Stanford usually starts fairly slow, and then it takes time for him to get players to play like he wants them to play, and by then I'd hate to play them.
Off week and then Miami at home.
That's going to be the one that may be the Achilles heel. That may be the – you know, Miami comes in, and they have a lot of athletes. If they get this thing – if they get their team going in the right direction and all of them working together under Mark Richt, this could be an upset.
Navy's a win. Army's a win. Virginia Tech, it's going to be a win this year.
Yeah, I'm going to make one prediction.
Okay.
I'm going to say that the one thing I'd say for sure, they'll beat Army this year.
Yeah, they'll beat Army, no question. That game used to be a lot bigger than it is now. And then at USC – obviously a chance there that they could stumble. So you're so this Notre Dame schedule, if you look at it, we think they're going 11-1, but they could easily go 8-4.
That's right.
So that's right. Again, another tough schedule for Notre Dame, and if they go 11-1, will they be in they'll be in position for sure. Will they get a playoff berth? I don't know.
Well, they need to have a really tough schedule because they don't have to go through the grind of one of these conferences,
they don't.
Which is it's just unbelievable.
Well, even with the five ACC games that they have to play, you still say that that's just not the same.
And they're still not fighting for a conference championship. Whereas in the Big Ten or the Southeastern Conference, wherever, they know that if you lose a game, you might be out of the race.
Right. Even in the Big 12, they don't have a championship game. But if you win that championship, you are the champion of that league. And Notre Dame, well, I guess Notre Dame's the champion of its own league in some respects. Well, that's another great show here. Big Ten preview, Notre Dame preview. We got a lot covered today. You won't want to miss next week. Next week, the Southeastern Conference takes center stage in our BunSports.com previews. We'll talk about the SEC and your favorite team, whether it's the Crimson Tide, the Tigers, or some other SEC team. We'll talk about them next week on BunSports.com. Don't miss it. Have a great week.